Okay, good, yes. After the resurrection of our Lord, when the disciples would meet along the road, those that God had changed their life. Can you imagine that? I mean, can you imagine the difference in so many people's lives? Did you know there's over 10 times in the New Testament that the Bible records that people saw Jesus after his resurrection?
Amen.
There was no denying that Jesus had risen from the dead. But of course, the Romans hated that. The religious leaders hated that. But when they would meet along the road, there was a saying. And one would say to the other, "He's risen." And they would respond to that statement, "He is risen indeed."
Amen.
Let's try that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He sure has.
Amen.
In my opinion, the most important doctrine of Scripture is the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen.
Because without it, nothing makes any difference.
Amen. That's right.
Without the resurrection of Jesus, Paul said, you're still in your sin, you're still lost. The Christianity is nothing without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to John, the 20th chapter. And let's look at verse 11. Why don't you stand with me as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. I like it when they put me on the program right before it's time to eat. And everyone is ready to eat. I am. I'm ready. Are you? You're going to have to endure me just for a little while this morning. Look at verse 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked in to the grave, the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus, now look at this, had lain.
Right.
That's past tense, isn't it? It had taken place. And they say unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she saith unto them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." She had her mind made up, didn't she? Jesus saith unto her, "Mary." She turned herself and saith unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Jesus obviously opened her eyes to see him. Jesus saith unto her, "Touch me not." Really, we might misunderstand this if we grab hold of it too quickly, because it wasn't so much, "Don't touch me," it's, "Don't cling to me." Because he asked old doubting Thomas to touch him, didn't he? So it's not so much the touch, it's you can't hang on to me in this situation. Because he knew he was getting ready to leave to go to the Father. "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I send unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Father, thank you and praise you for the day that you've given us and for every blessing of life. Thank you for the opportunity to celebrate here in this free country, to come and to have a service like this and to feel your presence and your power. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Conceived in a virgin womb, concealed in a virgin tomb. All of it was barren because he was not going to be here too long. Then we see in all of this, we've been working our way to the resurrection. And I love hearing these stories over and over and over again. Going to those sites yesterday and thinking about the Last Supper, thinking about that triumphant entry and that scene in the garden, and then moving on to, as Brother Brent said, the bitterness, the sourness of the crucifixion and the terrible beating that Jesus took. But the resurrection was on the way. Wow. I mean, it is all worth it because of the resurrection. In the 19th chapter of John, look over at verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, look at this, but secretly. Well, we think, now that's not good. We don't have secret agents for Jesus now. But I'm telling you that in the day in which Joseph of Arimathea was living, they were killing people who professed the Lord.
Amen.
It was a dangerous, dangerous place to be. When we send missionaries to China now, they go undercover. There's places that it's not safe to be a Christian. And he was that for fear of the Lord. And he besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. So he comes out. He comes out in the open here. And nothing matters now. Nothing matters. And he takes away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave, and he came therefore, and he took the body of Jesus. And there came also, you remember this guy? Nicodemus, in the third chapter of John, he came to Jesus by night and talked to Jesus about eternal things. And that phrase that we've used all of our lives as Christians, Jesus talked to Nicodemus. And I'll tell you, I like Nicodemus. He said, Nick, old buddy, you're going to have to be saved. You're going to have to be born again.
Amen.
Well, how can that be? How can a man be born when he's old? He can't enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born. Jesus said, we're talking about spiritual new birth. You must be born again. And that's, folks, you can be a member of Osage Baptist Church. You can be baptized, and the old preacher said it to you, know all the tadpoles by their first name, that's great. But unless you are born again, you are lost. And you can only go to heaven if you are born again. And that's what he was talking to Nicodemus. So we know something took place in Nicodemus' life after that conversation. You don't talk with Jesus and something not happen. So it's changed. And so now, with Joseph of Arimathea, he's one of those that takes the body of Jesus down from the cross and he prepares it for burial. So they brought a mixture of myrrh and alloy, about 100 pounds weight. Very expensive deal. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloth with the spices, the manner of the Jews to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, a tomb, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Love rises triumph over fear. Love always trumps fear. You think about it. There's a lot of things that you can be fearful about, scared about. But you let one of your children be involved in something, and it always trumps it. It always goes over it. We forget about fear. One of our kids is in danger. We forget about safety of ourselves, and we would plunge to do whatever it took in order to save their lives. And so here, there's this magnificent change in these men's lives that it goes beyond fear. You know, we talk about sometimes people will not witness because of fear. That's one of the major things, one of the main things in folks' lives about talking to folks about Jesus. And a lot of times it's about fear. But when our relationship is right with Jesus, it overcomes that. He overcomes that fear in our lives. The hour came when we couldn't be neutral any longer. We couldn't be passive. We've got to either confess or deny. And I wonder if that hour has come to you yet. That you've either got to confess or deny. You'd say, well, I don't deny him. Oh. I wonder when I have an opportunity to stand for him and I do not stand for him if I deny him. I wonder if when the other Christians at the church are meeting and I don't meet, if I'm denying him. I wonder when I hear someone using his name in vain and I don't speak up, if I'm not denying him. If I hear someone denying that God even exists, or not believing that God is the creator of the universe, and I do not take a stand, and by the way, young people, if you're in college, you're going to have that opportunity lots of times.
That's right. Amen.
If I do not deny him. I remember a situation that I wish that I had the opportunity to do over. I've got lots of those in my life. Probably you have too. But a surgeon was taking a lump off my shoulder. And I don't know exactly how the situation came to this, but of course, I'll tell you what, if somebody's cutting on you, you're kind of paying attention to that. You're not really at yourself, but I was awake and everything, and he said we weren't meant to walk upright. That's the reason we have trouble with that. And until I left, it didn't register what he had said. You know what he was saying? Yeah. If I had it to do over, I would have said, hold everything, can you put a Band-Aid on that or something, stop right here? Because you're not going on with me. But I hadn't had an opportunity to say anything else about that. Well, they came to the garden. Look at Mark 16. Matthew, Mark. I love this passage. Mark 16, look at verse 1. And when Saturday had passed, when the Sabbath had passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Now wait a minute, have you kept up? They've already anointed him, right? I mean, this is what Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea had done. They brought 100 pounds of stuff and they wrapped Jesus' body in the linen cloth, and they had put the spices. They had done everything that the Jews do when they bury someone. And here is these three women, and they're bringing more. What someone else does for Jesus is not sufficient for you. First church I pastored, and I don't know how you put up with me, but I sure don't know how they put up with me, but they were very kind and very gracious. But I tell you, they knew zero about giving. They knew zero about tithing. And, they had spent 30 or 40 years in a little wood building with no water and no restrooms because none of them would give. I began to try to teach them about giving. And this is what the treasurer, I hope she doesn't listen to this. This is, I doubt if anybody's listening, my freaking. This is what she said to me. This is the treasurer of the church. She said, Daddy told us, this woman's 50 years old. Daddy told us that he gave enough for all of us. We didn't need to give. This is the treasure of the church. Now I want to tell you something, folks. Young people, Daddy don't give enough for you.
Amen.
I don't care if he gives $2 million a week. He doesn't give enough for you. Right. That will not take your place. Mom coming to church will not suffice for you coming to church. You sending your kids on the van to church is not sufficient.
Amen.
You sending your wife down here to church is not sufficient. They made up their own spices. They carried their own. Now, I don't know what they did with them. They never did get to use them. Maybe Lazarus went ahead and died later on and they could use him on old Lazarus. But they didn't get to use them on Jesus. So what they were doing was for their own. And Brother Matt and I were talking about this last week or week before. You can't be too extravagant.
Amen.
For Jesus.
That's right.
I talked to a woman this week about coming to church, and she, this is the first thing that came out of her mouth. She said, I'll tell you right now, she had some excuses rolling. She was out of peanut butter and everything else. She was getting ready for this preacher, And she said, "I want to tell you right now, I do not do mornings." And then she asked me what time our service started. I said, "In the morning at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock! She said, "I don't do mornings." I said, "You got any kids?" She said, "I'm raising a grandkid." I said, "So if that child needed you in the morning, you couldn't make it, could you? You couldn't do it." I tell you, we can't be too extravagant as far as the Lord is concerned.
Amen.
I don't make any apology for us having a sunrise service on Easter.
Amen.
You know, some of you drug out. Your wife had already been up for an hour cooking. You finally drug your lazy bones out of the bed. She already had coffee made for you.
Amen.
That was me this morning. They loved enough to take the risk and to make the sacrifice. They came to anoint him, even though he'd already been anointed. They did not sleep in at the rising of the sun. You know, we can make all kinds of excuses about not serving the Lord. But none of those are sufficient. I won't brag on the women. I tell you, men, and some of you I know are doing a lot better job than I did when we was raising our kids. I don't remember ever dressing any of those girls for church, getting ready. My wife did it all. That hairbrush and them curly heads, she'd work them over. And then if they didn't sit still, she'd work the other end over. And they got a good raising from Mama. They did not sleep in at the rising of the sun here. But they came to give to Jesus. But then there's this question. Who's going to roll away the stone? What are we going to do? What if this happens? What if that happens? But what if you have a flat on the way to church? What if you get there and the car won't start when you get ready to go? My dad used to say, "Why don't the clouds fall and smother all the little birds?" I mean, we can come up with all kinds of excuses not to do what we ought to do. Now, man, I want to tell you, if you got up and your wife did all the cooking this morning and got things ready to bring down here for us to and make you coffee, you've got a jewel. And I do.
Amen.
Amen.
But I want to tell you something. Do you know what responsibility it is for us to be here? It's mine.
Yes.
You know whose responsibility it is for your children to get the spiritual growth that they should be getting? It is yours, man. You should be the spiritual leader of your house. And you and I can make all... I'm telling you, you don't have an excuse. My wife's so far ahead of me spiritually, I'm not even in the race. But I am to be the spiritual head and leader of my home. It's my responsibility that we're here. And if you and I get up and drag around and find some other reason not to serve the Lord, and there's plenty of them out there, we're going to be held accountable for that. Well, wasn't any reason to make an excuse. When they got there, the stone was rolled away. In verse 6, he's risen. The old black preacher said he took the cross and he punched a hole in the backside of death and the grave. And he said, come and follow me. John and Peter go to the grave in the 20th chapter of John. And I'll close with this. The first day of the week, come with Mary Magdalene when it was yet dark to the sepulchre to see the stone taken away from the sepulchre. She runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and he came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. You know why? Have you ever thought about why that other disciple outran Peter? Well, I want to tell you. Because he was younger than Peter. And he came first to the sepulchre, and he stooped down and he looked in and saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen cloth lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. And as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Boy, they were slow, weren't they? Because he told them. Then the disciple went away again unto their own home. You know, I can tell you over and over and over and over and over and over and over, but until you experience it yourself, you're not going to believe it. Until the Lord does a work in your heart, I can tell you what He's done in my heart. But until you experience it for yourself, you don't really know what I'm talking about. They had been with the Lord for 3.5 years. They took all their meals together. And I really believe that the Lord, I'm so excited to get to meet Him in person, aren't you? I mean, to get to actually see Him. But these disciples had been with Him over and over and over again. They had took meals together. And they came to the borrowed tomb. The stone was rolled away. John gets down and looks in. Peter runs on in and looks around. There's what they had wrapped him in. They'd seen him die on the cross. They knew he was dead. There's what they'd wrapped him in. I think that he just came up through that. But they saw what he had, the napkin that he had laid over his face. They saw it roll together and off by itself. You know what I think? I think that the Lord had some kind of special little deal that he did with his napkin every time. I can't prove that. But I think that the minute that they saw that napkin, he did that. That's the way he did in all the meals. When we finished our meals, see, they didn't use forks and spoons, they used their fingers, and so they used napkins to keep that wiped off. And he laid it over to the side. And this is what the scripture says. He saw, they saw, they saw it, and they believed. They saw it, and they believed. You've been told about the resurrection of Jesus all your life. But have you seen him? I mean, have you seen his power? Have you felt his presence? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always here. Help me. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's merry way. He lives, he lives. Listen to it. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. Are you ready? He lives within my heart. Does he yours?
Amen.
Let's stand together and we're going to ask the blessing on the food. We're going to have breakfast together. And then we're going to have Sunday school and another service. The choir is going to do the cantata this morning. I can't hardly wait. I've been seeing little glimpses of it on Sunday evening. It's going to be